going through our series in Genesis, arriving at Genesis 24, so we're almost halfway there. It's quite a long series, 50 chapters in Genesis, but I think the last quarter of Genesis is the story of Joseph, so that's a great way to finish. So we're talking today about Isaac's wife and the getting of Isaac's wife. But I just want to weave into this message the theme of faithfulness in service. Faithfulness in service. And when you think about service, we're all in service, aren't we? We're all in service to our families. We're all in service to our jobs. I know in my work, there's the word services is at the end. It's all about services and service delivery. So if we struggle for any purpose in life, as soon as we connect with the whole idea of service, life starts to make sense. I first come around these principles in AA, strange enough. You know, unity, service and recovery, the three key words in AA. Service. When you think of it, when we think of ourselves serving within our families or serving within our communities, our workplaces, and that we are a servant, a willing servant, it is a game changer for our lives. So epic adventures are narratives that seem incredible from the viewpoint of retrospect. As you look back, you chart the whole journey, just as epic failures are. You know, when you look back, an epic failure, not a good thing to look back on. You know, hopefully the lessons learned. But as you look back from hindsight, from an epic adventure, I think of a motion picture that goes for 2.5 or 3 hours. How much story is put into one of these motion pictures? Even a 3-minute clip, how much has gone into, how much work has gone into that? And as we think about our own lives, all the different chapters, all the different, you could say volumes of our lives and the chapters within them, the pages, the paragraphs, the lines, the sentences, the words even. The significance of all of that. And we have this sense of an epic adventure as far as Genesis 24 is concerned. It runs 67 verses, so I'm going to save you the pain of all of that and bring it down to 3 verses. Just want to focus on these 3 verses, a short passage that encapsulates this epic adventure. And this is, I guess, the arrival point for Abraham's chief servant who's been sent out to find this wife for Isaac. And it says in verse 50 of Genesis 24, Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed." So the Lord is central to the provision of a wife for Isaac in all of this. And then in verse 52, when Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. This is the very final minute of the movie. It's like it all comes true. It all comes out. It all works out well. And as we look through those first 49 verses, we see that Abraham has sent his chief servant out to find his son, a wife, but a particular kind of wife, has to meet particular criteria. So it's not an easy journey. It's not a fait accompli. And one of the refrains, or the key refrain, in this long account in Genesis 24, and out of all the 67 verses, is the word success. Success. We think of it. I often think of the word success along the theme of the biblical, and I think I'm a little bit hesitant, a little bit cynical, you know, because success, you know, the name it, claim it, you know, all of the kind of theology that, you know, pray and it'll happen, and just like that. We know that life doesn't work that way. But we think of success as this outcome of a long journey. Of a journey of trust and faith, a thing where a number of situations had to happen for success to be achieved, a number of things of God's provision and providence. Think of it as a quest, And if we've ever been on a quest, maybe we've started out a field of study and it's taken us 5 or 6 years and there's been significant challenges along the way. And I know of many people have had that, where they've been, kind of life's been put on the back burner for a number of years. It's a choice to go a different way, a choice to sow in and invest in a vision that you've, that God's given you. And that vision is going to come true in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And I think many of us, and we know many people are on that journey. And I thought of a moment on, I think it was January the 21st this year. Arrived, can you imagine, arrived on this charter plane at Carnarvon Airport. It's stinking hot and there's a fire. And I'm, that only the day before, the day before, I didn't know I would be in Carnarvon the next day. So early, stinking hot, and I've got these 5 huge big boxes of masks because I'm the COVID-19 safety advisor. So I've got to get all these. And you know when that moment when you think, I'm missing my family. I don't want to be here. Suddenly, just for a moment, I lost the vision. I'm thinking, and all of a sudden, a vein of terror shot through my heart. And I'm thinking, far out, how long am I going to be here for? Am I going to be able to do this job? People are relying on me. This is a whole incident. It's a level 3 incident. It's a fire that's been going on for 3 weeks. Am I going to fail? All of these doubts and all that started coursing through. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just say, come on, saddle up, let's go. So boxes onto the bus and within a few minutes, we're on our way. And you're absorbed then. I was absorbed in the incident for the next 3 days. Before you know it, you're on your way back and we've done the job. Well done. But there's these moments in the movies of our lives, aren't they? Those key moments where we are under significant challenge. And I think in the realm of this particular story, this chief servant going out faithfully, trusting. And I just want to pick up on these words where the word success is used in the passage here. So in Genesis 24:12, verse 12, before entering the town. So the servant has been sent out and he's before he's hit the town that he's going to encounter Rebekah. He prays. Then he prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. In that, you can feel the heart of the servant. I'm serving my master. This is all about my master. If my master gets what he has been praying for, I get what I am praying for. Genesis 24:21, after the chief servant first encountered Rebekah, and it's amazing just around these verses how quick, while he was still praying, Rebekah appears. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. At this point, he's watching to see if she meets the criteria. It's almost like he's got a tick list. It's just seeing how God has provided. He's gone before and he's watching. That's a tick, that's a tick, that's a tick. It's all unraveling, all unfolding before his eyes. In verse 40, in recalling, so this is after I think that Rebekah has been secured, if we can call it that, because it's pretty bit not the best term. In recalling what Abraham had said, he replied, The Lord before whom I have walked faithfully, sense of faithfulness and service, a servant walking faithfully, will send his angel with you and make your journey a success, so that you can get a wife for my son, from my own clan, and for my father's family. So you hear some of this criteria here, where this wife is going to come from. And this is a comforting prophetic word. So the servant implicitly trusts this prophetic word from Abraham. He says, this is a good word. I can have faith in this word. And then again, in recounting his success, when I came to the spring today, I said, Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant me success to the journey on which I have come. And you find in the Bible, the wonderful thing about the Bible is that it recapitulates. It tells the story again in the same thing. Remember Paul and talking about his being blinded on Damascus Road. Three times in Acts that's repeated. It becomes a critical part of the story of Acts. And of course, it tells us a lot about how God can convert anyone, even those who are marauders of the church like Saul was, I should say. So this, the faith in this audacious prayer. And then finally in verse 56, Rebecca's family are asking if she could stay 10 more days, because you understand Rebecca's got to go and they might not see her again. There's a finality to being betrothed to Isaac. So you can imagine they just want to spend some more time with her perhaps. But he said to them, "Do not detain me." This is the chief servant. "Do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I can go back to my master." And as it played out, they asked Rebecca if she was prepared to go there and then. And she was. So then basically the story continues on in Isaac and Rebecca. But I think of the term of success. From a biblical viewpoint, this whole issue of success, the success of the servant of Abraham, is based on two things: the provision of God in the provision of Rebecca, and the obedience of the servant to trust. And I think of servants, and the servants in those days, it was their nature, it was their character. So diligence and obedience would have been just part of the character of this person, of this man. Trusts implicitly. And in many ways, that's a challenge to us, isn't it? Because I know I have times, I have seasons when I'm a good servant. I'm pretty diligent. I'm pretty obedient. And then there are times when I'm railing, kicking and screaming. And I remember of the footprints in the sand poem. And something, you know, the two footsteps, you know, that was God carrying you. Well, the groove was when God pulled us kicking, screaming, you know, "I know I don't want it that way, God." And yet the grace of God, you can see that groove. So it's a bit of a play on that poem there. How do you think of success? Do you connect success with servanthood? Connect success with servanthood. Doesn't seem like, that's a bit jarring, isn't it? What do you think success is? What is it to be a success for God in your individual context? Recently, as I sat with a mentor, Monday last week, as we were sharing a kebab, and he's a much older man, and he was the man that actually baptized me back in 1990. And discipled me to faith. An amazing man who has a passion for helping pastors transition into retirement, because that's actually hard. It's hard to transition into retirement, particularly if you're a minister. Anyway, I love the way that Barry just sort of tells stories. He just tells stories. That's it. You know, there might be a little bit of advice, but it's mainly telling stories. And he gave me this vision of Ezekiel and the Valley of Dry Bones. He said, imagine God's got you by the neck, you know, little pincer grip's got you by the neck. And when we're kicking and screaming, he's kind of lifted us off the ground, so our little legs are going like this. And I thought, in some ways I've kind of, don't like that. But in other ways, I thought, actually, it's really true, isn't it? Like, we spin our wheels. We it's like we're revving up in neutral, if you use a car terminology, a car reference. But as I pondered this question, you know, this image of God's hand on the one who is a success. So God's hand is on the one who is a success. And the Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones, this is the first the three verses of chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was on me. And that's a kind of a refrain in Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was on me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the valley, in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Do you sense what's happening in Ezekiel here? What's happening in him? If you go back through those verses, I want to pull out these things, six or seven things here, six or seven things that Ezekiel has written down for us. You alone know. When we can say to God, you alone know, that is like humility, like, who am I? You alone know. When he calls him Sovereign Lord, he led me back and forth. He led me. I didn't lead myself. Ezekiel didn't lead himself. The hand of the Lord was on me. And the image that Barry gave me was, well, you know, when you're a success, you know, the hand of the Lord is just on you. What a comfort. The hand of the Lord is on you. It's like you're a continual anointing. He brought me out and set me in the middle of the valley. He placed Ezekiel right there. God has set us in our lives by his hand. We have been divinely placed. We belong where we are. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I think to myself, I don't belong where I am. I belong somewhere else. I want to be over there. God has set us in our lives by his hand. We've been divinely placed and we belong where we are. So when the hand of the Lord is on us, the image I was given of God holding me in the air, legs running in the air, nothing happening. And there have been times of my life, there have been whole seasons of my life as I look back. And isn't it amazing? I don't look back with any regret. I look back with, wow, the wisdom of God is that you've shown me, and such compassion in God. There's no judgment for those times when I've been like this, you know, with a groove, you know, and, you know, not walking in his way. But it reminds me of the humble verse in Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And essentially, the one and only purpose of life is to ensure that we don't run ahead and lose contact with the hand of God on our lives. We won't end up with our feet doing this, you know, when we're kicking and screaming through our lives. And yet, when we do it, we inevitably will and do, that's okay. Just like it was added to those dry bones, muscle, tendon, sinew, breath, life. You can imagine all the components, the dryness of these bones. There's no life in them. When we're in the lap of God's will, when his hand is on us, God brings everything to life. He resurrects our hope. He gives us strength. He gives strength to our faith. He motivates us by his purpose. And it's enough. It's enough to get us through the hour, the day. The beautiful thing about the narrative that is Isaac having his Rebekah found for him in Genesis 24 is it's a story of God's provision. Rebekah was God's anointed for Isaac. It's a story of diligent obedience. The chief servant keeps his master's oath. So he's under an oath. Part of that oath was, if you go and she won't come, you are released from that oath. So there's a fairness to the oath. But the oath is so serious. It's like it's a covenant. And God answers prayer in this passage in Genesis. And we see time and time again through Genesis, God's provision, God going before, and God realizing what God had planned in the first place. You can imagine when it's realized that she is the one. You imagine in the servant, wow, she is the one. Immediately he's surprised by how quickly it happens. And yet has walked there by faith. He's has journeyed there by faith, an epic journey. I'm a bit of a numbers man, you know, and 67 verses in Genesis 24, 66 of those verses really are the story. The last one just sort of recapitulates it. 66 books in the full Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. The biblical story is epic. Stories within stories within stories. And what a comfort the Bible is, because it reassures us in our anger, reassures us in our failure. It reassures us that we are human and that's okay, and there's only one person who never failed. So we retrace the journey of our lives. Hopefully we can see God's brought us to this place in our lives, by his divine providence. He's measured each one of our steps. And truly there could be volumes and volumes and volumes of motion pictures, the stories of our lives, where he has faithfully carried us to this day. Not all of those elements of our lives have been good, have they? Some of them have been horrendous. Some of the things that we've suffered or endured or seen. And yet he's carried us faithfully to this day. Some of us could write a whole book on our lives, and I think that's actually a really good exercise. If you've ever done anything like that, write the book of your life. Because if you want to be connected with thankfulness and gratitude, especially when it comes to God, reconsidering what we've been through, how he's been faithful in our lives, is really important. I want to finish on this. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Life is nothing without God's hand being on us. Life is hard, especially hard as a Christian if God's hand is not on us. To live successful in quote unquote, inverted commas, to live a successful life in God's economy is about living before God in this way. And this is another little bit of gold that I picked up, quickly scribbled on my hand as I was meeting with Barry. Oh, I've never heard that before. It's like a prayer. Reveal me to me as you see me, God. Reveal me to me as you see me, God. And it is such a bunched up way of saying Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And I've so often said the gold in those two verses as far as a prayer is concerned. Search me, O Lord. You know, in this prayer, as we ask and invite the Spirit to show us what he sees on this adventure of faith. Because sometimes we see things, God will show us things that we really don't want to see. I've been replaying A Few Good Men of late. You know that courtroom scene in A Few Good Men? You can handle the truth. And the fact of the matter is that we all have those areas in our lives where, oh, that truth hurts, or that truth is hard. We all have it, and it's okay. And yet, as we feel this truth, as God impresses it on us, it's not a condemning thing. It's actually a life thing. We might feel a tinge of shame, a tinge of guilt or something like that. But as we pray, reveal me to me as you see me, God, a lot of the time, within a short period of time, life comes into us because we've sat there and just faced our truth. It's not going to kill us. And yet, We can fail to live up to the promise of the seal on our lives if we don't face the truth, we don't look at it. One of the most incredible things about the cross and about the finished work of Jesus is that performance is no longer how our lives are defined. How we perform, how well we perform, is no longer the yardstick, because it's been done for us. He's covered our sins. We're covered. And as I wrote these words this morning, we can relax. Can we relax? Well, we can relax from the viewpoint of grace. And yet there's something in our faith that wants us to strive to please God, to serve him well, to serve our families. And we know that when we are serving well, God does something in us that we can't do ourselves. You know, he flourishes something in our hearts, which is amazing. We are saved by grace through our faith. And as we consider, maybe finish on the word service, as we think about our service in all the contexts of our lives, how important service is and how important it is to be sold out to wanting to serve, and how well our relationships go when that happens. Because when our relationships are framed around the word service, it becomes about others. And that's really, really important. And even in those periods or times when we've got toxic relationships, it gives us a space to be able to see that our doing our best is, that's good enough service, that's good enough. And God is pleased however things turn out. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that as we have journeyed through Genesis and all of these narratives where your hand has been on your servants and your key characters, and we think of Abraham and the chief servant, and we think of Isaac and Rebecca and Laban and others in this passage, we thank you, Lord, that it's wonderful to be encouraged that as we work in faith, you do turn up. Sometimes, Lord, it's a passage of continuing to sow by faith and feeling like we don't get what we think you're going to give us. And yet as we continue to sow by faith, we recognize that that in itself is your answer. Your prayer is answered in our service. We thank you, Lord, that when our hearts really understand and we're living in this servant-hearted, servanthood kind of mentality, that all things are ordered, there is a sense of peace. We really get what the purpose of life is. And we sense your hand is on us. Help us, Lord, when we are in those times, whether it's a moment, an hour, a day, a week or a season when we are not, we don't feel your hand on us. Help us, Lord, to scurry back without guilt, without shame. Come back, face you who is just forgiveness upon forgiveness upon forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you that you've done all of what we could never do. And it's an eternal concept, Lord. We never lose it. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.